This is Eric Larson.
This is Eric Larson, and I'm speaking with Mr. Harry Exnides of St. Augustine, Florida, about wooden boat building on January 14th, 1985.
I'm of
Seaman. Okay.
And actually, my island is no, we don't have no farming, nothing like that, any diving for sponges, things like that. My daddy do things for me. Then my daddy don't allow us to go to the water. He said, never one of you go to the water. Then I go to school, and my sister engaged a family for the tradition of building boats for years and years. Then I go learn the trade from the old man in. The old man got sick. The old man got sick, and then I working with the different people. Then I left the country. I'm not strong enough to be, I call myself a boat builder. I come to this country, and I come stowaway. Then I have no opportunity to get job. I try to work in on Ellis Island, on a shipyard, place like that. And it don't give me no job because I'm an American citizen. Then after that, I apply for a visa, and I go to Cuba, and I get visa from Cuba. So 1939, I think, I get a visa, and I come back to Florida. I say, now I got the visa, and I'm a free man, I get come to Florida. I come to Florida, then I work in with my brother-in-law for a little time. Then after that, I want to see what's in it. Then Salvador Brothers, he have a little money, sold the truck. Then he asked me, come to my house, just like you right now. And he asked me that we sell the truck, we have few dollars. Can we build us some boats? And we pay you by a week. I say, well, how long? I say, oh, you're going to build us a couple of boats in it. I build the first boat. Labor and material, that what I put my mind, I say, I'm going to build something that the people can like me on it. Now, I don't know if he like me or not, but then I get up and I can sleep. I get up 3 o'clock in the morning, I work in my mind on my own practical, because I know I'm no education. I finished the first boat. But that cost them $900, labor and material. Figure out how much labor I put on it extra, but I don't charge them nothing in it, because I want to make a little progress for myself. And the people love my boat. Then I begin to build the second boat, the government got at that time in it. Because I use it for my submarine chasers, something that. get blood out of my mind. That's what I feel.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No,
my daughter working with Pan American
airline,
and I say, you go to Japan, you buy me one of them. Because sometimes we talking with the customer down and I get picked up his voice. That's, I got one, that's a Mickey Mouse.
How long did you build boats for?
I started building boats in 1939. Mm-hmm. Then I stopped a few years back. I still got a kill in it now. For the costumer, that's the Mr. Duran and Harry and I built them 7 boats. It's from 75 to 80, what I call him the kill. Then after the materials, he got so weak and everything on him. The old man died, his son-in-law, that is Duran, the father-in-law. And he gave me $5,000. And I give him back, I said, Paul, if I build you a boat, we became a family. He's from Derry, Georgia. And I built a house 29 years ago. His brother-in-law, he passed by here. He's a professor of theology.
Huh.
And he's the one who teaching school, and he won a boat. And he stopped right here, but right here, working on the door. And he left me $1,000 and he go. And I have a Greek fellow working with me here, painting the doors. Say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. The man leave $1,000 and he left. I said, I never sign any contract with anybody. It's my words, like I bring from the old country. Second hand, you know, you can't do nothing like that today. Then he left the first boat I built him. The father is appreciated, the brother-in-law appreciated, and I start building them boat. By the time I lay the keel, I don't know who I'm going to be. Next day, the old man come in and he say, Mr. Harry, you sell the boat? I say, I'm just laying down. I don't know how to sell boat. I can sell. I'm no salesman. The people buy it. They sell my boat. It's my costume.
My word of mouth.
Also, the time I see everything get high, and thought, I'm so ashamed to build them a boat because from, say, $25,000 we used to build boats, and now to build a boat is going to go about $300,000. And then I just lost my friendship. I said, hell, I don't. Then I start, Nicky, he quit the school, then he don't want to go to college, my son. Then I said, Nicky, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to start put railways and make a repair in Japan, and build no more boats.
So that's what you do now?
I figured out that build a boat and go out and working on the spare times on repair in Japan. Then we start the repair jobs again. We don't have no time to get any site. That's two things.
It's just like a doctor's office, you know, always waiting there.
Now we have so many boats now to haul out. And what you call them, that
Desco,
he sent my customers a letter to give him $200 rebate. I said, go up there. I said, look here, if you can come over here, you don't come over here, I give you $1,000 rebate. But that's, I can't do it anything like that, because that's what I'm proud, and I have a dignity on myself, because I build myself, maybe I'm not rich. I'm rich outside that with my job. And my trade, yes, sir. I believe I'm rich. Because nobody can. I have my brother-in-law, he's a boat builder, I tell you, from generation to generation, and his old man, God rest his soul, is dead. He asked me, nobody can build a boat like you, Harry. He asked me all the time. I said, hey, Tony, I want you to come to be partner with me. I buy you a rocking chair, and you watch me, and I bet he start building boats. Then we have a building boats over here. That's my sister, or my brother-in-law. My sister living right here with a granny restaurant over here. Mm-hmm. I built boats over here for 18 years before I bought the place up there. And I built the biggest boat on a shrimp industry. those days be the biggest boat used to be 56 feet. And the guy come up there, he said, I want 75 feet. A lot of people told me, say, you can build no 75 feet. There was a difference between 12 feet or 50 feet or 100 feet, and you put more heavy materials, that's all that you can build a boat on. I built a boat in, and he put two GMs in. The GM people come from all the salesmen, and the head man, he came from New York, he's a short fellow. My wife, he helped me up there, I'm a labor. And my baby, Nikki, now, he must be a year old, and he crawling. The old man, he asked me, say, Mr. Kennedy, where are your labors? I said, where are my labors? He said, I use black and tackle. Well, I don't want to go bake anybody on him. I bring a man to Corkin, and he threatened me. He said, you're going to pay me more than you other men pay me. For what? I said, if you can threaten me, I say, if you can cork, I'm going to cork. He said, I'm not steady corking. But I corking, and I teach my son also now. That's what I'm, don't worry, that's on it, because we know how to cork him. Because I see this man corking on it. If that man get corking, I say, I'm going to cork. Now, it takes me a little time, but after that, I can follow him on. The practice, the way you put that cotton in it.
And if you put too much, it'll bust. One boat busted right open.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there's cotton in there.
Yeah. They expand. Then, a lot of people know how many other time I built boats on it. Jealousy, you know. Every country, the Italians, the Greeks, and everything, we jealous each other. And I'm always busy, and the place don't belong to me. He throw me out of the place, and I go down to the different places, and he asked me one man, say that city commissioner, he say, I have a brother-in-law, he got a place up there, Beria Street, and he need the money very badly. And I bought that place up there. But I have to park my car and a lot of tires. The tire, high tires, I got to go to Central Avenue to park it because the tires come in and cover up my car, my truck. And a little by little, we fill it up the place on it, little by little. And thanks to God, that's all in. I mean, my son now, I'm proud. I left him 1965 by himself, taking over, and I say, I'm going to go to Europe. That way, you know, have me up there.
That was and his first time after 40 years?
By himself.
Going back?
Yeah.
To
after
Greece?
40 years, it took me 40 years to go back to the old country.
Huh.
Then after 40 years, and I left my son up there, and he make it successful. And I'm that way now, today. Sometimes I don't go to Bodia for a week. Sometimes I go to see him every morning. I mean, I don't worry because I think he's better than I am now.
Oh, was that right?
Oh, yeah. He's better. I see him do a repairing job. You can even tell where's the repairing job. Now, we go. Another thing. It's a friend of mine. He built a boat, and my brother in law. And he bought one boat I built, and he hit by the submarine in Key West. And he bought the ballast. He go down to Desco, he asked him that those days, we want $1,300 to put another ballast. Now we want $33,000. Those days, you know, the money, those days. And I told him, my friend will come to my house. I said, look here, you give me that money, I come to you in Georgia, in Savannah. I come up there, I put him on him. The only thing I want to stay with you, I'm not going to spend money in a hotel and eat in a restaurant with that money. Then after that, I can make it. I take my helper, we put everything on a boat, we go up there. I make the ballast, my helpers, he tear up the blanket to give a space, but put a new ballast in him. And the old man, he owned that, Mr. Ambos. And he called that Savannah.
That was Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt. Mr. Humboldt, that's the one richest person up there. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic guy. And you feel like you want to give him a nickel to go have a cup of coffee. It's a cold, freezing.
In January, you
were. Yeah, we call up there. Then we every night we play poker. We play poker up there, all the neighbors up there. And my wife called me that night to say, Harry, yeah, I tell you the good news. No, I'm pregnant.
Sick.
I'm pregnant.
I was sick at the time.
I said, wait a minute, I'm in Savannah, and you in Florida, are you pregnant? Something, you know. Everybody laughing on him. By the time I finished the ball stem, I don't know, sometime you stop in the morning, you're doing something, everything's wrong. Sometimes it's okay. I make the ball stem, and I make the A-frame, and I raise him up, and I put him on him. If I do that on the floor, it's not going to fit that way. I mean, maybe the good Lord do that to me, I don't know. And the old man, he watched me. I don't know him. He is the owner, the captain. He said, who's that man? He said, that's Harry Xenides. He said, I hear about him. That's, I never believed that that much in. He said, so good. By the time we finish the job, it take me to go up there and come back. They got 13 days, and 13 days. I asked Mr. Rambo, got ready, so he's there. I said, how much I owe you for your railway? I said, man, you know me nothing. I learned something from you. I have so many people working here. You're special. I said, thank you, Mr. Rambo. You have to pay a little. I said, no, you don't charge me no money for the railway, you know, delay the railway and everything. You don't charge me no money. And the owner, he go up there and he bring a bottle of whiskey. I said, I don't drink no whiskey. I said, Mr. Rambo, 1,000 people, he told the same thing on. Did you like what I told you a while ago about the GM people? He came in and said, what did you do? He said, you mean one man, he built a boat like that with the GM people, if he take you over, you need engineering, you need drawing, you need labor, you need so many men. It's one man, then he come up there and he hug me. And he say, if we have a 100 men like him, and then we go to the moon. We already been in the moon, you know, because better people than I am up there, some way. And he asked me, he said, Mr. Xenides, how about we financing, give you some money, and you start mass production? I said, I don't want no money. I don't want no money, and I don't like, I want to build one boat, and I love it. It's like my children. I got to raise my children on my way, the way my mother and father give me respect, to respect the people. I want to do that in my house, the same thing with the boats. I said, what's the use to make $1 million, and after you're going to cost me and wish me hard luck and things like that? And
one time the nail hit him in the eye, you know, just right the you know, the pupil,
uh-huh.
And just one hair. And he was a little finishing nail, and it hit, and he went to the hospital, and he stayed in the hospital a week. When he was coming out, he told me, he says, just take me by the boatyard just 1 minute so I can touch the boat. Oh, he loves
you. Got the feeling, you know, you got to have the feeling on him. I mean, you got to have the feeling on him. It's just like a man, you play organ or violin thing. You got to have the feeling. If you don't, make it noise on. That's the secret of a human life today. You got to have the feeling to doing something. I built this house, and for the first time, the Greek people come on, the carpenters, you know, to try to find. I can't believe it. Yeah, house carpenter in it. I said, no, I'm no house carpenter. Mother said, I put the floor. That's 29 years ago.
Yeah.
First time I put a floor.
This, the frames on these doors, uh-huh. Is oak.
Oh, is that right?
No, this, they're down.
Here?
How
about this one?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, baseboards?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put ribs, and I cut them on and I make them.
Is that, what did you make your boats out of when they were still made out of wood?
The keel, make it by pine,
uh-huh.
Long leaf pine. And the bow stem, you make it by live oak. Mm-hmm. cactus oak is always very hard to, I mean, a lot of people cut the oak and use it at the same time. That's not right. You see, I take them, I buy 2-3 of them, and I put them in a river, cure. You cure that long there. After he can work in better, by the time you finish, you treat him with a, anyhow, you have to
hit him on my mind now. Not recuperate.
No.
It was something like you treat it.
Just like, before you put the varnish on it.
Stain?
Then the, I mean, I never have no trouble with my boss then. I always told my customer, and we drill a hole on the top, and you go about a foot, and you fill it up with linseed oil, and put a plug on the top, and then and cover up with a lid. Cover up with a lid, that water don't go, you know, the balls, and the time you cut them on it. That's a gross grain. Gross grain, the water get inside more. And you get in. Also, the time that these people over here building boat now, my production, it don't cork the boat. It don't cork the blanket on it, and the water, the time you water get inside, that's the most worst thing you get in there, special raining water. What I have, though, I'm working on this car now, that's a long time to take the rafters. I have the...
you had the gutters up
gutters,
there.
And the gutters overflowed with the leaves and things like that. Then you go to the woods and you wrap the rafters and the 1x6 on the top. I have to have cut them all of them and put pieces and replace new piece on the side.
Long we did
pieces.
All underneath there, all under there last week.
You see the water, the
we
water.
We just wanted a TV
easy.
Room.
I start to do this on in there, then I have to do the roof.
This was a porch and it wasn't doing any good, so I just says, this is a roof.
No, this is just made?
No, this has been made ever since we moved here.
No, this is
the
addition. Excuse me.
This
is the addition right here.
The addition, he just put
the way you come in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The porch was there, you know, the tile.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the addition on it. Now, I'm going to put insulation inside. That's what I got to do along with you. I put insulation in the roof.
You like building, don't you?
I sit down watching the TV. I can do. I can, and the doctor also told me that if you sit down and do nothing on it because you're working all your life so hard, then you're gonna die. Then I think the better for me.
He says
that
if he's
so small
working
because,
and he dies, he's happy.
Yeah.
He don't want to be in the bed laying lazy.
Oh yeah, thanks to God.
What did your mom and dad do in Greece?
My daddy, he owned a boat, a diver. Diving. His brother diving, and he don't want us to be divers. And my older brother is the first one, he became engineer from the island I come from. The first one he go educate is my older brother.
Was this a very small island?
Small island, close to Rhodes, the Dodecanesian Island, Then another brother, he left, he go to South America. South America at that time no had no progress, And my daddy, he sent the money, come back to Greece. My daddy left from the island, and he go working on the singing boat that and it carbon metal the iron and salvage.
Oh, okay.
Salvage. He do salvage up there,
It was a dangerous job.
And we can communicate with my father, the war started, the First World War started, mm-hmm. And my daddy can communicate with us, we can communicate with him only. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a body come in and he's smuggling a friend of his and then bring us some money. There's some money, because the German, he don't, if you see any boat, he call you up, somebody get up and then he say, they give you 5 minutes to get into the robot. If you don't need, blow the boat up. There's nothing moving on it. I mean, we starving to death. That's why I want to go to Europe in 1939. I want to get the visa from Greece instead of go to Cuba. By the time Hitler is already started the war, I said, I'm not going to go have another starvation just like the first one in it. I see father and he bury his own son. I see mother, he dig a hole and bury her children because, you know, have nobody to help her. Every people sick, starving to death. You see, you people here, you know, see nothing like that. We, Second World War over here, it's nothing here. We got the stamps and things like that to buy. No, that's nothing. The black market and everything. In Europe, you can give you the whole house if you have a loaf of bread. Starvation, you know, people starving. Thanks to God, my mother is all good training, mama, good Christian, and if he give us a couple pounds of flour, some people are cooking that flour in the same day in Iraq and swell up and he die. And my mother, nighttime, he make a bread and he put them in a closet and put up a 7 lakhs and lock him up in here. Because we, the children, naturally, we're going to take him away.
Without, she was saving for another day.
Then he give us a piece of bread and oranges, dry figs, something like that. And thanks to God, no one of my family died on a First World War. On the Second World War, I lost life. On the Second World War, I was my younger brother, he torpedoed right in San Lawrence River. I had a brother got automobile accident in New York. My older brother died in France, the one I told you,
the chief engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother and sister died.
My mother and my sister. And at the time we go to the island, there's nobody there. All my family.
He's just got one brother and one sister living. Mm-hmm. His brother runs a Spanish landing here on
San Marco.
By the big cross.
I know where the big cross is.
Right over there. And then his
what's
sister.
What's the restaurant, a big place up there, that the motel? Dating anyone?
No, it's Ramanda.
Ramanda is next to them is my brother's restaurant.
He's got good food in
there. He specializes in Greek food too.
Do you cook Greek food at all?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you originally from?
Here.
Florida?
Yeah.
St. Augustine?
Yes, that's my hometown.
Mm-hmm. We were born
45
in
years. 45 years.
Yeah, yeah, Greek
45
Spain.
Years. January the 4th. Was there.
Wow.
Years. I got 3 children. I got one boy, Nikki, and I got a girl, Eleni, that's after his mother, and I got one, Irene, after his sister-in-law. And the other girl was here just a few minutes ago, the big one. Now the little one's in Miami. She's working for the travel agency down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one who used to be airline steward.
Oh.
He resigned from the Pan American. He can't get no job anymore after he resigned.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just interested in finding out about you because I talked with your son about you, and every time I was there, you weren't there. And I spoke with John Versaghi today.
Yeah.
And he said to say hi, and when I told him I was coming down here to speak
with
you.
I built him one boat.
I saw the picture of the Gladiator.
The Gladiator.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Beautiful boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it's a tough costume.
That
is good, but that's on a business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying, you know, they say the wives brags on their husbands.
You gotta tell my wife that.
Yeah, but when he built a boat, it was just as slick as that. You couldn't see the planking. It was all right
there. Just like a piece of plywood on it.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And when he'd make the planking, it fit perfect. And the last piece he put underneath, you know, that piece goes on the keel. That's the piece me and him always had trouble with. It was so long, and I had to hold it.
You helped part of the, you were a worker too?
Yeah, I helped him. I didn't realize
that. That time he's a skinny, very skinny girl too. I have to put her some pillows because they're longer.
1942.
Like in
1940 we were married. In 1942 Nikki was born. And it just seemed like you couldn't get help because they were overseas.
When what we put the ribs and you have to go to hospital to have a baby? Helen's or him?
Oh, you want to tell that story?
You know, we...
It was one boat and I was helping him bend ribs. You know, he put him in a big galvanized...
You see the way
like wash pot, you've seen these big...
Yeah.
Well, this was long. Yeah. You build a fire there and you put
your
ribs in
the
bowl.
You see the way bend ribs? You never see. Yeah. We have a long pot. 20 inches high, 20 inches wide, 20 feet long.
Wow.